Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production.
Now available on Apple Podcasts,
Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
The following is a presentation of Podcast One.
What the hell is Brett Favre doing here?
Eric Bolling and Brett Favre on everything from politics and sports to business and culture.
This year has been insane.
I got some advice for y'all. Take 2 weeks off, then quit.
That man right there, number four, Brett Favre. First NFL completion, and it's to himself.
It's big time and prime time.
That's why Brett Favre is Brett Favre. Yeah.
Now it's Bolling with Favre.
All right, here we go. Week two, show number two, Bowling with Favre. Brett Favre, what a week to kick off a podcast, Brett. What a Super Bowl, Super Bowl 55. I was in Vegas. You know what? We had a lot of insights last week, week one, and boy, we were kind of right on a lot of that stuff, Brett. What your thoughts on the Super Bowl?
As I have said over and over again, Chiefs had tons of firepower. If I were a betting man, you know, you think the Chiefs are the, you know, the favorite, as they should have been, but I would never bet against Tom Brady. And again, I still would not bet against Tom Brady.
That's a good point. Yeah, you know, so we were sitting there last week. We were in Atlanta together talking about what's the bet, what's the action, and I said, you know, can't bet against Brady. And I went with the under, and I'm sitting there watching that football game. First Brady 3-and-out. I'm like, uh-oh, am I gonna win one and lose one? And then it was back and forth a little bit. But boy, that defense, that Tampa Bay Buccaneer defense, really, really supplemented Tom Brady.
I think the story of obviously the story of the year is Tom Brady switching, and them winning another Super Bowl, and you know, rightfully so. But the story of the Super Bowl itself,
yeah,
is the defense of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers outstanding.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. They just shut down the running game. They shut down Mahomes. They got to him. I was in Vegas watching the Super Bowl with a couple of friends. And I had, like I said, I had Brady in the under, but I also had a bunch of prop bets and it was going back and forth. I had Mahomes plus 40.5 passes. It was the fourth quarter. They're down to 4 minutes in the fourth quarter. Brady had obviously won the game. It was the under. I'm trying to figure out I'm going to get the over 40.5 on Mahomes. And for some reason, I don't know why they did it. It was 3rd-and-1 on their own 40 or so. And Bruce Arians calls a long pass play to Gronkowski, incomplete. And I'm like, you're going to give the ball back to Mahomes. I mean, look, stranger things have happened in 4 minutes or so. Didn't understand that play. Were you watching that? I mean, I guess he just had so much confidence in his defense.
Well, at that point, I think the writing was on the wall. Officially it was not over. And you got a quarterback who you trust completely. An incompletion is certainly not a bad thing.
Stop
the
clock.
More importantly, you know, up
stop
to that point,
clock. Turn the ball over, stop the clock. I'm like, come on, you got one first down, you got the game in the bag.
Yeah, I mean, you can make an argument to both. Bruce Arians, if he were on our show right now, he would say, worked out fine, didn't it?
Yes, he would.
But I think at that point, the confidence in his defense,
yeah,
understandably so, was at an all-time high.
You know, but what it did do, for me at least, was it gave the ball back to Mahomes, who had three more passes and got over over 40 and a half. I won that prop.
Well, I think that's probably what he was trying to accomplish.
That's what, do you think Brady had Mahomes over 40, or Arians had Mahomes over 40 and a half passes, probably, right?
I would think so, yeah.
I would think so.
That would be a good bet.
So we have some folks, the second week into this podcast, Brett Favre, Hall of Fame quarterback, and there's some gifts that come along with that. One of them is Brett had a text conversation or a conversation with none other than
Tom Brady.
All MVP Tom Brady. But what that entails, we're going to get to that in just a minute. But first, I want to talk a little bit about IP Vanish. Brett, if you're online and you're surfing around, maybe you buy your wife something, a nice dress or whatever you do, they keep that information. You might be on another site. You might be looking up some sports information or going to a news website. All of a sudden, that same place you bought that dress starts popping up everywhere. Well, that feels creepy to me, and it should, because not only are they looking at whatever you're buying, they're looking at whatever you're doing all over the place. But IP Vanish, you know, they make sure that this doesn't happen. They try and take that IP address of yours, the uniqueness of the IP address, and they hide it. They bury it.
I mean, I get it, but what I do get is I don't want people stealing my stuff.
Yeah.
Or being able to get it. And so that's the cool thing about IP Vanish is it works. Pretty much everyone has a computer, a tablet, phone, works on all those. It's safe. Maybe most importantly, affordable.
$3.49 a month. Or $27.99 a year. You can protect your online privacy and security because it's called a virtual private network, VPN, and that makes basically makes sure that your IP address is encrypted. No one can steal it. If you're walking through an airport, this is something to think about. If you don't have IP Vanish and you're walking through an airport and you log into their free Wi-Fi, they're stealing everything you do. They got your name. They know where you're surfing. They know who you're texting. They know all that information. Unless you get an IP Vanish, and you know, $3.49. It's cheap.
Yeah, $3.49. I think we pay for that.
No, it's a coffee. It's a Starbucks coffee.
No, coffee's way more than $3.49. I mean, where are you buying your coffee at?
Brett, $3.80. It's a venti.
Okay, see, it's more than $3.49.
Yeah, technically it is. You're right. But because IP Vanish loves the show, they're hooking you up with a huge special offer, 65% off. Just go to ipvanish.com/Favre, F-A-V-R-E. Claim your 65% savings. IP Vanish is the best of the best. And we want you to show these guys some love. It's ipvanish.com/Favre to get the deal and start protecting yourself online. Brett, let's get to that Brady combo. What happened?
Tom and I have really been friends since he started playing way back in the day. We've just hit it off and you know, had conversations and dialogue throughout our careers. And, you know, when he switched teams this year, he and I talked probably more this year than we have in any year previous. I think part of that is I had gone through what he was about to go through, and he picked my brain a little bit. And, you know, obviously there's not a whole lot from an advice standpoint I can tell Tom. He seems to have it figured out pretty good, but I was just, you know, giving him congrats each and every week, maybe lifting him up at other times. You know, they struggled a little bit early. But I kept, you know, and Tom's always humble and very modest in his replies and in interviews. And anytime he's speaking, he always says the right things. But, you know, you oftentimes when trouble arises, you kind of wonder, did I make the right decision, blah, blah, blah. I said this all year, they were going to get better because really their preseason, if you think about it, was regular season because of the pandemic. There was no preseason games. You have to think back. He changed teams. He was not able to practice with any of the players prior to the start of the season. So they were going to have some bumps along the way. And I went and watched the game, home game in Tampa, filming an episode of The Grind for NFL Films. and watched it. Really, me and my daughter and my daughter's friend and my grandson went. We were the only fans, and they won, but it was a struggle. But I could see that they were close. Mm-hmm. And I would just reiterate that to Tom over and over again, that look, you know, I know it's not going to be perfect, but you guys you're getting better each and every week. And lo and behold, they make a run and get hot at the right time. And Tom was, you know, true to form. So I sent him a congrats after the game and told him, you know, I told you way back when that it was going to be better. Boy, was it ever. And said, hey, started a new podcast and love to have you on. He said, give me a couple weeks to let the dust settle and I'll come on. So that's I'm going to hold him to that.
That's great. That's great. So stay tuned. Make sure, by the way, if you're listening or if you're watching a clip, make sure you go and rate the show. So subscribe and rate the show. You just might have Tom Brady and Brett Favre on the same show you're listening to. By the way, if there's a Mount Rushmore, the greatest of all time, those two are definitely on that Mount Rushmore. Four faces, two of the four will be on that Mount Rushmore. Brett, you know, some of the fun on the book, just a couple of thoughts, you know, random as an athlete, but it was baseball, but as a football lover, I can watch. That Buccaneer team. I mean, people say Tom Brady, yeah. And the defense was fantastic. But you look, it's a Super Bowl, right? And you look how many times Mahomes got crunched. He got sacked a few times. He got hit hard. Brady was pretty much untouched. That offensive line is awesome.
Yeah, and much like the team, they got better each and every week. And I said this from day one, and I'll say this at the start of next season and in any season that Tom continues to play in. If he can be protected, now, you could say that about every quarterback, but I say that about Tom more than any other because his game is about being in the pocket, and he is the best pocket presence quarterback in history. The only other who, to me, is close is Joe Montana. What I mean by that is you don't have to have a completely clean pocket, but if you can give him a little cocoon or bubble, he can move – just enough. I mean, he has this presence about him to not over shuffle. Mm-hmm. You know, some guys, including myself, I felt an arm come in and graze my shoulder pads. I was gone.
Yeah.
Because I trusted my legs to get me out of the, you know, what I considered a dangerous pocket. And I felt more comfortable buying time with my legs and then making a crazy play. That's not Tom's game. It's not his game. If you can protect him and just keep the guys at bay, even if they get an edge on you, he can move and get away from that edge and reset. He has the patience and the poise like no other player in history to just reset and kind of settle back down and go through his read. And he's the most accurate thrower in history. Yeah. Yeah. So if you can protect him, you don't have to protect him great, but just keep that cocoon. He's gonna always stay in.
He's gonna hurt you.
Safe zone.
He's gonna hurt you. You know, and again, the prop bets in Vegas, and I took Mahomes over. It was 21 yards rushing. He had 34. Remember, you subtract all the sacks from your rushing yards. I think the over-under on Brady was like 1 yard. So the oddsmakers didn't expect him to ever get out of the pocket one way or the other.
And I would agree. Yeah. I would agree.
All right, let's do this, Brett. A couple of fun moments. You know, let's have a little fun with this. Rob, will you cue up the audio of when there was a streaker on the field and you know, for some reason the powers that be decide that they don't want to reward people to interrupt the game. I'll ask you if you ever had that happen, but streaker, Rob, play the audio.
Second down, 20, 5:03 to go. Someone has run on the field. Some guy with a bra. And now he's not being chased. He's running down the middle of the 40. Arms in the air and a victory salute. He's pulling down his pants. Put up your pants, my man. Pull up those pants. He's being chased to the 30. He breaks a tackle from a security guard. The 20, down the middle, the 10, the 5. He slides at the 1, and they converge on him at the goal line. Pull up and your pants, take off the bra, and be a man. And the players with hands on hips at the other end of the field are looking at him and shaking their head and saying, why, oh, why is this taking place in a Super Bowl?
And Kevin, if you're going to run that far, get into the end zone. Don't slide at the one. You got to score once you got on the field. Get into the end zone, my man.
Lord, now they're cuffing him.
Kevin Harlan and Kurt Warner on the call for Westwood One.
Yeah.
Kurt Warner. So, and the funniest, I'm watching that thing live on television, and Jim Nance says, well, that's about the best run of the game so far, at least for the Chiefs.
Yeah, I think that was definitely the call of the year. And I know Kevin very well. His dad, Bob, was the president during my 16 years at Green Bay. So I know Kevin very well. He does an excellent job. And that was obviously unplanned. So he showed his expertise there on that call.
Put up your pants, my man!
I thought it was funny.
I'm guessing if you're on the field, it's not so funny, disruptive.
You know, I've had that happen to me or our team. In one particular game, we were playing Cincinnati in Cincinnati. It was a regular season game. It was I hate to say that it was unimportant because all games were important. But second half, this guy just I get the snap. I can't remember. I think I was in shotgun. But anyway, I get the snap, and the whistle blows. So I turn and look at the ref like, what the heck is the problem? And as I turn and look at the ref, like a fan comes by and just takes the ball right out of my hand. And just I think he actually scored. Now, if I remember correctly, he got drilled down in the end zone.
Right. I can imagine if I'm a defensive back and just watching this happen, I'd probably want to drill a guy too. Hey, Rob, let's talk a little bit about the commercials. Let's cue up some commercials. And Brett, I'm not sure if you and Deanna were watching the game or if you're at the game, but the commercials, I think general consensus is they weren't as cool and hip as fun.
It wasn't the best year for commercials.
Yeah, they're saying it was a little boring. I found a few of them fun. This is one of my, I guess, I thought, I don't know if it was the funny, but I love the Wayne's World, Rob. Can you play the Wayne's World?
Hey, everyone. Welcome to Wayne's World.
Party on, Wayne.
Party on, Garth. As a local access show, we want everyone to support local restaurants.
But we'd never manipulate you the way all these other commercials do.
Yeah, we'd never shamelessly rely on a celebrity cameo.
Right, Cardi B?
Yeah, eat local.
It's for Uber Eats.
So
I got a chuckle out of that one.
But did you have a favorite?
I'm like you and probably most. I mean, it wasn't like overwhelming with any commercial. That one was very funny. And I think you have to, our generation probably appreciated that one more. The younger generation probably goes, I don't get it.
But Mike Myers and Dana Carvey, they look
right.
Wrinkles.
A 25-year-old may get it, but I got a chuckle out of the Ashton Kutcher commercial.
Yeah, play that one. We have that one. That was a good one. Cheetos
cheating.
Did you steal
my Cheetos again?
Just tell him it wasn't you.
But I caught you at the counter.
Wasn't me.
Saw you snacking on the sofa.
Wasn't me.
You even had him in the shower.
It wasn't me.
Well, did you?
Wasn't me.
Okay. Well, that's the first time that's ever worked.
Shaggy in the commercial with them.
Yeah. I was hoping to get the Shaggy in there. That was the best part of it, Rob.
Oh, yeah, but it went on for like 35 seconds. It went on forever.
Yeah, so Ashton Kutcher is a friend, and I sent him a text right when that was over. I had no clue that commercial was going to happen. And I said, what happened? I was expecting your rapping skills to –
he
sent back
rapper.
Laugh out loud.
He wasn't a very good rapper. So any other Super Bowl related, I don't know, ancillary stories, anything you thought, anyone you talked to, What do you thought? Any final thoughts on actual Super Bowl before we talk about some other stuff?
You know, the halftime show is always, at least in recent years, has become, you know, what's going to happen? You know, how big can you go, sort of thing. And the weekend, I mean, the first song he ever came out with, I really liked. And some of his other ones, I mean, I think he's talented. But some of the stuff was kind of weird, you know.
So that was a shot at his ex-girlfriend, who he said is so fake and plastic.
Oh, really?
He's taking a shot at her with one of his songs. He wrapped himself up like he's all full of plastic surgery. I believe that's what I hear. So I hear. But I thought the show was good. I liked it. It went on a long time. And, you know, I guess you're sitting in the locker room trying to get back out on the field on the Tampa Bay side of the ball. You're like, hurry, let's get back out there. And then on the Kansas City side, they're probably thinking, boy, I can use a few more minutes to get a breather here and retool the game plan.
Yeah, it's amazing how long halftimes have slowly grown to accumulate. I mean, I think the halftimes when I played, just in general, were 20 minutes at the most. There's no way that was even close to 20 minutes.
No, that was like 45.
Who got the field ready to play.
From the time they hit the locker room till the time they came back on the field.
What a momentum killer. And I don't know who the advantage goes to necessarily in a situation like that, if it does. But I know for an older guy, it's tough to take a break anyway and come back out. But, you know, you can stretch. But mentally, you got to stay sharp. And I don't know.
All right, let's talk a little bit some of the other things that went on during the week since the last time. By the way, we talked Brady and the under, gave you a couple of winning bets there. And also, we'll get to Bitcoin in a little bit. This morning I woke up, Bitcoin was 48,000. Now, Brett, you and I were sitting in Atlanta last week, and your buddy Poncho, remember the story?
Yeah.
Poncho,
we're
talking. Poncho, many years ago, took 180 Bitcoin, I'm sorry, for something that he, you know, so one of his businesses. Poncho's super successful. And it was worth about 40 grand at the time. And he sold it for $1,300 a Bitcoin. And I said, Poncho, what did you do that for? He goes, I made $100,000. I go, Poncho, do you know what you'd be making today? Anyway, that was last week we're talking about that. Brett, if Poncho held on to his Bitcoin, you know how much his 180 Bitcoin would be worth?
Well, he sent me a message last night. I could read in his text the sorrow.
$8.6 million. $8.6 million. Just hold that Bitcoin, folks. Hang on.
And you know what? I'm not going to remind him, except for every day, at least once.
Poncho is such a good guy. He's got such a good spirit that, in fact, you know what? I know some. No, let's remind him every day, every week, Brett. Let's remind, because last week when I said Brady in the under, he texted me right after the show and he said, I guess I'm going with Mahomes in the over. I said, do what you want to do, my friend. But, you know, I still got my Bitcoin. Aaron Rodgers, MVP, got engaged too. Did he win one, lose one?
First of all, very deserving of the MVP. No question. I don't even know if it should have been unanimous, but I'm not sure if it was. I knew he would win it. I mean, they'd be idiots to not select him as the MVP. Great year. And Aaron and I are friends, and we talk on occasion, not so much during the season. I give him a hard time because he's the worst texter. Like you say, hey man, great job, happy for you, and you won't hear nothing for 8 months. And then he'll reply, and you've forgotten by this time. He's like, hey, thanks. I appreciate it. You know, it was a good year, blah, blah, blah. So that being said, I definitely don't keep up with his off the field.
Rob, do we have a little audio of Aaron accepting the MVP and announcing his engagement?
Yeah, here we go.
Thank you so much. It's an honor to win this award for the third time. 2020 was definitely a crazy year, filled with lots of change, growth, some amazing, memorable moments. Planned for, you know, very little fans or no stands the entire season. I got engaged, and I played some of the best football in my career.
Yeah, there he is. He got engaged to Shailene Woodley. And if I'm a big fan of Big Little Lies, I like that series. She's one of the stars of Big Little Lies.
Well, she also played in The Fault and Our Stars. I think that's the title is correct, The Fault and Our Stars, where she was dying of cancer, and she was awesome. She was awesome. I don't know her. But I'm happy for Aaron. I mean, good for him. Maybe that was part of the reason why he played. I mean, he's played great every year, but I mean, it was unbelievable this year.
Brady's coming back. Aaron, any inside on what Aaron plans to do in Green Bay?
You know, a lot of people text me, call me, people I see, you know, just out and about. Wanted to know, of course, he playing in Green Bay, being at the age roughly that I was when I started talking retirement, what I read into his comments, what I read into his comments were simply frustration, disappointment, mm-hmm. being upset, and nothing more than that. You know, I expect him to be back. Why? I mean, there's no reason for him to want to switch teams. He had the best season of his career. They were one game away from the Super Bowl. I was shocked and surprised as anyone that they didn't make it. They were hottest team in football. There's no reason to think that he won't be the same player and they won't be better as a team because they're relatively young outside of him. So I wouldn't pay much attention to his comments. I think he's still enjoying playing, seeing Tom Brady do what he does. Certainly keeps the fire lit, I think, for an older player. And Aaron shows no signs of decline. 37 nowadays is quite young. By all accounts, I think that you're entering the prime of your career when 30 years ago, 37 was – can't believe the guy's still doing it. You know, I mean, it's a different day and time, and they protect quarterbacks better.
That's it. We talked about that last week. The rules have changed. I mean, if the hits that you, Brett Favre, took, some of these guys took them now, they're not sticking around to 37, 38, 39.
Yeah, and they're not getting them. They're not getting hit like that. I mean, and here's the thing about that. Defensive players have gotten to a point where they're afraid to make a hit. Because they're afraid to get penalized, penalized, but more importantly, fined $20,000, give or take. People go, they wouldn't fine them $20,000. Oh, yeah, they will. They most certainly will. Yeah. So, you know, and there was a hit on Mahomes late in the game. Maybe if people watched all the way through the end, where three guys hit him. I think they called roughing the passer on Devin White, but he was part of there was three guys hitting. Yeah. I don't know what those three guys could. I mean, it just happened the way it did. It wasn't illegal. And they're all trying to make a tackle.
Yeah.
And again, there was a roughing the passer call and it was on the wrong guy, but that's kind of my point. You don't see those type of hits anymore. There, yeah. When you do, like, oh my God, I can't believe it. But sometimes it happens that way. Mm-hmm. And it's just to me, it's amazing how afraid defenders are to hit the quarterback.
Yeah, it's a you know, change a game. Also, you know, they'll hit you in the pocketbook. They'll take a couple of bucks from you. Carson Wentz. Last week we talked about whether or not Jared Goff was going to, there's going to be that trade, Goff and Stafford. And literally a couple hours after we recorded the podcast, that trade went down. Now they're talking, do you think the Eagles deal Wentz? And you know, that's he had a great run in Philadelphia.
You know, I think here's what I think. I think that Jeffrey Lurie, who I vaguely know, but it seems to be a great owner, chose Carson Wentz over Doug Peterson. Now, is that the right choice? You know, in their office right now, they think it is the right decision. Time will tell. I think Doug's an excellent coach. I don't dislike Carson Wentz. I think talent-wise, he's as good as any guy in the league at what he does. But he's got to stay healthy, first of all. That's probably been issue number one. And he's been a little inconsistent. And I think that is part of that is due to the injuries around him. Who do you throw to? Who's protecting me? I mean, they have been riddled with injuries more than seems like every other team in the league. And so there's no continuity. There's no chemistry because it's a new guy each and every week. And I know the offense and the scheme that Doug was running because we played in it, first of all. And I played in it for 16 years in Green Bay and 2 years in Minnesota, and it works. So I know it's not the scheme. So maybe they're looking at all that and saying, hey, if our guys can stay healthy, including Carson, and maybe they think the scheme was not the right scheme for Carson. I don't know. But I think it's going to be hard to deal him because of the price tag.
Yeah.
You know, for any teams may would want to take a chance on him, but not at that price tag.
Right. Well, listen, we got a lot more, but in the meantime, we have a new sponsor, Brett. We have keeps.com. Look, we're not getting any younger, and we got to keep our hair looking good now. That's why we love Keeps. Keeps offers a simple, stress-free way to keep your hair with convenient virtual doctor consultations and medications delivered straight to your door every 3 months. Now, you and I don't look like we're losing any of our hair, but you don't want it to happen. So, Brett.
Yeah, you know, Eric, I hate to admit it, but my hair, as you can see right now, we're on Zoom, is long, shaggy. I typically wear my hair short, but this time of year, it's cold, it's not hot and humid, so I don't care about cutting it. And usually my wife cuts it with clippers.
You look good though, Brett. Looks good, brother.
When I cut it short like I normally wear it, you can see that there's a little shine in there. Yeah. But you know,
your hair is social distancing.
Yeah, you know, exactly. But you know, Keeps, you don't have to leave your home. Once you hit 50, your eyes go, your hair goes.
Come on. Hang in there, brother.
Those go.
I got a few years on you. I'm not ready to throw the towel in.
You got a nice head of hair. Yeah, Eric. Cool. I mean,
you know, there are only two FDA approved medications that can prevent hair loss. Keeps offers both. And the treatments can start at just $10 per month with discreet packaging. You don't want your girl to know your hair is starting to social distance and the packages come in. Proven results. Keeps has more 5-star reviews than any of its competitors.
Yeah. You know, if you're ready to prevent hair loss, which I think people with hair loss are ready to prevent it. I don't know if too many people say the hell with it, let it go. They may say that, but then they turn around and they go, now what's that number again? What's that website?
Yeah. It's, you know what it is? It's keeps KEEPS.com/Favre. Keeps.com KEEPS.com/Favre, FAVRE, to get your first month free. Keeps.com/Favre. Another new sponsor of ours. You know, speaking of hair, Brett, did you hear about this girl, young girl, who used Gorilla Glue to lock down her hairstyle?
I did. What was she thinking was the first thing that I thought of. Because Gorilla glue. I've used it, and
I'm laughing.
Get a little bit on my finger, and it's on my finger for like a month. God forbid I'm touching something that, like, a penny. Got to go through surgery to get it off, which is basically what she had to do.
She took spent some time in the hospital.
Yeah.
But get this. She's suing Gorilla Glue now.
Because it worked. Not because she made a poor choice.
Because it worked too good. I mean, what's the lawsuit? It was too, right? It was too good. It worked too good. And by the way,
Gorilla Glue? I don't know the ins and outs of what drove her to use Gorilla Glue on her hair, but why is Gorilla Glue at fault here?
Exactly. I'm sure it says somewhere, don't put this on your hair or any other places that you don't want to be stuck down for the rest of your life.
Yeah. Hard to sympathize with her. I mean, for anyone out there who's thinking of using it for whatever reason in your hair, it works.
But you may not want to try this at home. Jose Canseco, you see this? Barstool Sports does these once in a while. They'll do a pay-per-view boxing match, and this one's kind of funny. They've hired Jose Canseco. I believe he's 56 years old, if I'm not mistaken, to fight a 22-year-old Barstool Sports staffer, Will Cotter. His nickname is Billy Football. 22-year-old kid, get in the ring. Did you see this? He 12 seconds. Took a dive. Did he take a dive, Brett?
If I were to box right now, even if I prepared for it, whatever that would look like, I don't know. I definitely know from a stamina standpoint, I wouldn't last very long.
12 seconds.
I'm thinking I could probably beat 12 seconds, but then again, maybe I couldn't. So call it a dive, call it what you want, but I'm not going to stick around and get pounded too much, not to mention cardio. I mean, those guys who box in UFC they're in a different stratosphere when it comes to.
Yeah, this kid came out swinging, but Canseco was bigger. I mean, he could have rope-a-doped. He could have been Muhammad Ali rope-a-dope and stick it out around. Anyway, so Dave Portnoy he's a founder, or he's a figurehead, El Presidente, as he calls himself. He was pissed. He was like, Canseco took a dive, and he's like, I think it was $20 pay-per-view and it was 12 seconds. And Portnoy is like, he took a dive. I want my money back. I think they paid Canseco $1 million.
Are you kidding me?
No, that was the number.
Apparently, I think honestly, in regards to that match in particular, but really in general, I think that's kind of where we're going with entertainment to a certain degree. It wasn't long ago, there was a YouTube sensation. I can't remember his name. The younger generations, this guy, he and his brother are always doing stuff on YouTube, and he fought a former pro basketball player. I can't remember.
Talking about Jake Paul, who fought Nate Robinson and knocked his ass out clean.
Yeah. Now I'll say this, that one lasted. I mean, there was some entertainment there. And I have to admit, I was kind of hanging on every blow, just to see what would happen. So I would be very disappointed if it lasted 12 seconds, but I think that's kind of where entertainment is starting to kind of gravitate to.
Rob, what next week we should talk about? Maybe we'll have a couple of matchups. Remember Celebrity Fight Club? Remember those things? It was kind of a joke, cartoon type.
Oh,
of
you're
thing.
Talking about what was a Celebrity Death Match on MTV when they used to do the claymation thing?
Yeah,
yeah. I think we need to incite.
You want to start a fight?
Spark up some fights.
Yeah,
Bowling with Favre challenges.
No. I'm not challenging anyone.
No. That they fight. Like, we'll pick two. Like, who would you like to see fight?
Bowling can fight Adam Carolla or something. I don't know. Podcast
I might have to after that last interview, for the record. It was, so, you know, we were on Corolla's show to help promote our show and whatnot. It was, we were on about 34 minutes. I think the extent of Adam talking to me was, hey, here's Eric Bowling. All right, let's get, what's your favorite cheese? And then he went right for the next 33 and a half minutes.
Yeah.
I was good.
Asking me football questions.
That was all right. That's okay. Yeah. He didn't know me. But I think maybe we'll pick out some, who would win in a fight, right? And, you know, it's,
I'll give you some options. Yeah, we can come up with that.
We'll work
on that one. And we encourage our listeners to throw out some, you know, some matches that they would like to see.
Yeah, you know what? I have a I don't even know if we can do this, but I have a phone line. It's a toll-free phone line. We'll have our listeners call into that. Rob, we can do this, right? I can give out a toll-free phone
line. Yeah, go for it.
And you guys can say whatever you want. We'll play some of that next week when we come on. 888-601-0032. Toll-free, just weigh in on who you'd like to see fight. Or weigh in on anything you're listening to and seeing, eventually seeing on the podcast. 888-601-0032.
BowlingWithFarve@gmail.com as well, if you want to send any.
Or BowlingWithFarve@gmail.com. And as always, just make sure you subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or Spotify.
Yeah, I've had a lot of people that, friends and acquaintance, mostly here in town that listened to the show and said they enjoyed it, but they said, you know, why don't y'all ask the viewers to, you know, what would they like for us to talk about? Yeah. So we encourage our listeners to.
I thought that was
a good idea. Is there anything specific?
Because generally they have better ideas than Bowling, Favre, or Rob, or Brito.
Thank you so much.
Brito has a good idea. She said, why don't we, Bowling and Favre, judge the fight? And we can get someone to fight.
Yeah, first of all, we got to get a match set up. We got to get a purse. We got to get someone to pay a good enough purse for someone to get in and get their the bell rung.
I just came up with it. Dave Portnoy, the president of Barstool Sports, has been at it with this whole Robin Hood thing with the young Reddit traders.
Yeah.
He's called for the chairman, the CEO of Robin Hood, which is a stock site. In other words, all these kids were putting their trades to Robin Hood. Robin Hood pulled a plug on these kids. Portnoy is going, he wants this CEO. I can't remember the guy's name. He wants him in jail. He's like, I'm going after you. You're going to jail. I have a better idea. Portnoy, you got the Barstool Sports. You do the fights. You versus the CEO of Robin Hood, and Bowling and Favre are the judges. Brett, you in? You down with this?
I'm in.
Rob, you got a computer? Can you check out the CEO of Robin Hood Financial?
I'll look him up. I think his name's like Vlad something, if I'm not mistaken.
Vlad, correct, 100% right. So Portnoy versus Vlad. A boxing match, Barstool, pay-per-view, judges Bowling and Favre.
Vlad Tenev is his name.
Vlad Tenev. That's 100% correct. Let's work on that. We'll put that one down. By the way, 888-601-0032 if you like that. And we'll see, maybe we can get some people to weigh in on that to talk Portnoy into it. Hey, Portnoy, he's a big shot. Let's see if he can put up and you know, see if the walk matches the talk. Jim, money. Let's talk money. Tony Romo signed a massive $180 million contract.
Yeah, I saw that.
$180 million to call a football game.
And me and you are making chicken feed to talk about Tony Romo.
This is a stepping stone.
It should be the other way around. We should be getting that.
This is a stepping stone.
Toward Romo money?
Romo money, but man, Nance is his contract's up. He's making $6.5 million a year. He sits next to Romo, and Nance, by the way, he does golf. He does college.
Yeah, Jim. Sports. Jim is awesome.
He is.
When I saw that contract, I was blown away. Good for Tony. You know, I got to believe that that's the biggest contract he's ever had. Rightfully so.
Yeah. Yeah. More than football,
he
right?
Made,
yeah.
He made good money in football, but there's no way he could have foresaw this coming. But I suspect Jim will break the bank as well, rightfully so.
Man, money's getting big in entertainment and sports. And, you know, you look at some of these deals, $180 million, 10-year contract. I know, Tony. I know Tony a long time. Good guy. Really good guy.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm curious to know from a financial impact, and this is sort of related, but some teams, I'd like to know the teams that thrived off the – and maybe thrived is a poor choice of words, but maybe survived and maybe – I got to believe financially Tampa winning the Super Bowl was a good thing. But losing – fans, how much did that affect them? Not like Green Bay, you know, small market, so per se, but what they make in the pro shop, Packer pro shop, at one time on game day was over $1 million just on game day.
Yeah,
you know that I can't imagine on game day this year that them making that, but they'll be fine. But other, you know, Jacksonville, you know, some of the teams that struggle anyway to get people, what impact did this season have on them? Because keep in mind, the players that played still got paid.
Yeah.
And what brought me to this topic is talking about the money that's, you know, they didn't say, look, guys, I need you to take a pay cut because we don't have anyone attending games, which means merchandise is low. The surrounding areas and stuff, hotels are not booked, blah, blah, blah. It's just a financial impact like we've never seen. I'd like to know if some owners are sitting there going, man, I don't know if I can pay this guy a blockbuster deal. But if I don't, we're really going to fall behind. So, you know, it's a tug of war.
It's a lean year. I noticed for the first time, I think since – first time I can ever remember a Super Bowl ad, a 30-second ad, was actually a little bit less than the prior year. So it always had been higher. It got up to $6.5 million. Last year, they started at $6.5 million, and they had to lower the price to sell out the Super Bowl ads. And that was a bit of a surprise, too.
Yeah, and wouldn't you think that if anyone benefited from this more than the other, it would be TV? Wouldn't you think? Because if you can't go watch in person, but I know early on in the season, there was, you know, a little news excerpt that came out that viewers, just viewing was down like 15 to 25% at maybe the first couple of games of the season, which that really surprised me.
And they're not sure. I think the people, the ratings, Nielsen ratings had a problem with their coming up with how many people viewed the Super Bowl. It's just been, you know what? 2020 was a dumpster fire. 2021 is a whole landfill is on freaking fire. It's just when's it going to end? Bitcoin, Brett, I got to do it. It's just amazing. 46,000 right now. I got up to 48,000 this morning. I've been on this thing for 4 years. I'm not getting off it. You know, people say, well, where can it go? Well, could it go anywhere? And there's only 21 million Bitcoin ever in the world. That's the maximum that can ever be mined. And these things are mined via computers, via algorithms. You have to churn up a bunch of energy in your computer. It's very hard to mine a Bitcoin. You and I can't do it, but there are people that do it. When they hit 21 million, it's over. That's it. That's all the amount of Bitcoin will ever be in the world. And if people are using Bitcoin, there'll be demand for it. Demand is going up. Supply stays the same, price has to go up. And the reason why I put this out here is because Elon Musk invested $1.5 billion in Bitcoin over the weekend or on Monday, jacked up the price. But they also say here, and that's one thing, but the more important thing is Elon Musk is the chairman and CEO of Tesla. He said Tesla will take Bitcoin as soon as they get approval to take it. They will take Bitcoin. That's one of the first big businesses that said they're going to take Bitcoin. And that's where Bitcoin becomes super, super valuable.
How many do you have?
Well, we talked about it. I have a few dozen Bitcoin. I have there's a smaller currency called Ethereum. I have a couple hundred Ethereum, which is riding the
So in other words, you're doing this show for kicks and giggles.
No, I'm doing it because I love being on the air with Brett Favre. I love, you know, getting the word out, having some fun. I'm really doing it also, not only because I've been so deep into politics for the last 15 years. This is fun. I love talking about football and culture and Cardi B and Dana Carvey and Jose Canseco and the girl slapping some Gorilla Glue on her hair.
Yeah. Well, I wish I had a few Bitcoin. But.
Well. So, okay. You don't have to buy a whole Bitcoin. They're 46,000. You can get a Bitcoin wallet and put a few hundred bucks. I'm sure Brett Favre has a few hundred bucks sitting around somewhere. I just want you to buy some Bitcoin so you and I, you can feel it. You can.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is that I need to tell the viewer or listeners that are like me that you can't touch a Bitcoin. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Correct.
You cannot hold one in your hand. Mm-hmm. And for a little country boy from South Mississippi wants to feel the money in his hand to believe it.
How much stock can you touch? If you own a stock in a company, can you touch that?
No. I mean, you can get it. I guess the same could be said for Bitcoin. You can exchange it for real money. But if you're exchanging it for real money, then I guess it's real money itself.
Look at it this way. Bitcoin's like gold. Now, yes, you can touch gold, but you can't touch all the gold. You just know gold because someone, you know, you're wearing a gold watch. Your wife has a gold neck. You can't touch it. But you don't know how much gold there is. But
right.
You want gold, so you demand gold. When we want more gold, price goes up. Bitcoin's the same thing. It's a currency. It's cryptocurrency, but it's a form of a dollar. There's going to be a day where you can, you know, how right now you can take your phone and use Apple Pay and swipe. You don't even have to touch anything. You just swipe over a little reader and it takes some certain amount of money out of your account. It's the same thing with Bitcoin. There's going to be a day where Apple's going to, once Apple accepts Bitcoin in their wallet, Apple and Bitcoin are off to the races.
Yeah. You know, it makes me think about one of the shows that I've watched a bunch on TV. And in fact, I record it is Gold Rush. Mm. And you talk about gold and, you know, usually at the end of the show, they show them, you know, pour it into the weight scale and they slowly dispense it in, you know, it's like 180, 182
grams.
That makes sense.
Grams.
You know, but in relation to the show, it's like all the stuff that you're renting or owning, dozers, dump trucks, hired people, sleuth box. I mean, I've 180 ounces seems paltry to what you're spending in overhead.
Yeah,
but
you know, one of the biggest expenses, well, the biggest expense in mining, they call it mining Bitcoins. We generate more Bitcoins. It's called mining. Is electricity? It's power because you have to run these high speed computers at massive rates to generate enough algorithm to create a Bitcoin. And what happens is there are these massive rooms of computers that generate that mine Bitcoins. They get really hot, so you have to cool a room. So the whole trick is to find a place where you have low energy costs, like some of the colder places in the world. And just jam in some Bitcoin mining going on. It creates a Bitcoin again. When they're done making them, I think there's 15 or 16 million out there right now. There's only about 5 million left to be made ever. Prices got to go up. 400,000 Bitcoin, maybe $1 million Bitcoin at some point. We'll talk a little bit about our sponsor from last week and this week, IP Vanish. We're going to take one more minute and thank our friends at IP Vanish for doing an amazing job keeping us safe online. You found our podcast, so you probably spend a lot of time online. So are you keeping your data safe and private? IP Vanish can help you do that for a great price, Brett.
Yeah, no one likes having their internet searches used against them, but that's, of course, that's what's happening. of course, that's why it's important to protect your data. And IPVanish is about as easy and affordable as you can.
Yeah, and IPVanish helps keep your data protected for just $3.49 a month, or about the price of a Starbucks coffee. Brett points out, less than my venti cafe Americano, or $27.99 a year, and you get anonymous IP addresses. This means your personal IP address cannot be tracked by anyone on the web. Circumvent any online censorship. Get protection when using public Wi-Fi. And that's a big one. When you're using public Wi-Fi, folks, everything you do online will be stored, will be aggregated, and will be sold to someone. All your data is encrypted, so no one can snoop on what you're doing.
And if you need help, which this is important, with the technical stuff, they've got your back with 24/7 support through email and via chat. You can even call. You can actually talk to people. That's how great they are.
And again, because they love the show, they want to hook you up with 65% off right now. Just go to IPVanish.com, IPVanish.com/Favre, F-A-V-R-E, and claim your 65% savings. IPVanish is the best of the best, even rated 4.7 out of 5 on Trustpilot with more than 6,000 reviews. Remember, it's IPVanish.com/Favre. Get the deal and start protecting yourself online. What are you doing this week? When football's over, dude, it's killing me. I'm dying. Yeah,
you know, it is kind of depressing. It's like after Christmas, you know, the buildup is so big, and then it's over. But actually today, Deanna and I, we're driving down to the coast, which is an hour south, and we're gonna have some dinner with our priest, Father Tommy Conway, we love him to death, and two of the older priests that are retired now, Father Murphy and Father Pat, all Irish guys. So we're looking forward to it. We've known all three. Of course, Father Tommy, we see on a regular basis, but Father Pat and Father Murphy, we haven't seen in quite some time, and I love them to death. And we're going to have a little dinner and visit a little bit and come back.
Amen, brother. Also, don't forget, 888-601-0032. It's toll-free. Ask Brett, ask Eric, ask anything. Come up with an idea of a fight. Two celebrities you want to see us judge a fight. Just weigh in on anything. Rob, how we doing, brother?
The only thing on the table left to do is when Pancho was here last week and we were all hanging out talking, he said, I need to get the two of you to face off in movie trivia. Because he said Brett's obviously a huge movie buff. And you pulled, I mean, Cheyenne Woodley from Fault in Our Stars. I didn't even put those two together. You knew that one right away. So do you want to hold this for next week? Next week we can do maybe Big Time versus Prime Time?
Let's do a little bit. We'll end the show every week with something like this.
Yeah, something fun. All right, well, let's try a few of these and we'll see how you do. So I'll ask one of you a trivia question. If you can't get it, the other one can steal it. And if you need multiple choice, I've got multiple choice for you. So let's see how good you are. Brett Favre, do you remember the name of the skyscraper from Die Hard?
I don't.
You don't?
It's too long ago.
Eric.
Eric.
Do you remember Die Hard?
All
right, so it's either...
It's Tevlon Tower or
it's either Nakatomi Plaza, Nakamura Plaza, or Takagi
Nakatomi
Tower.
Nakatomi Plaza.
That was it. Nakatomi Plaza. Very nice. Good job.
I didn't get a multiple choice.
I know. So now this one goes to Eric, and if he can't get it, you'll get the multiple choice. All right, Eric. What Hollywood movie star plays himself in the movie Zombieland? Classic.
I know this.
Great movie.
I do know this.
Do you?
Here's why. Here's why I know this. Okay. I'm a zombie fanatic. Walking Dead.
Really?
Zombieland. Something the Z. I love zombie movies.
Yeah, exactly.
Bill Murray.
That's very good. Good job. All right, Brett. Do you remember what 1976 thriller Robert De Niro famously gives the "You talking to me? You talking to me?" Do you remember what movie that's from? I can give
I'm
you options
say
if you want.
No,
it's either Godfather 2, Raging Bull, or Taxi Driver.
Raging Bull.
Eric. Eric, do you know it?
Taxi Driver.
It's Taxi Driver, yeah.
I never saw Taxi Driver.
You never saw Taxi Driver? Oh, it's a great movie.
That's a must-see.
Great movie. Eric, do you remember in what movie Tom Cruise lip-syncs old-time rock and roll in his underpants?
Oh, heck.
Yeah. I feel bad. I know that. I'm from Chicago.
Okay.
I can't remember the name.
He says he knows it, then he can't pull it.
No, I know. He slides in his underwear.
Yeah, what movie?
What
movie?
I can't remember the name of it.
Brett? You know what's Risky, bad? I know exactly what the movie is too, but I can't think. It's the name is right on the tip of my tongue.
Well, don't say it, Rob. Hold on. Brett, let's figure this out. Risky Business? Is that what
it is?
That's
it. Yeah, there you go. Good
Risky
job.
Business. That's good exactly job. Right.
Let's try. All right, Eric, do you remember the name of the kingpin in Pulp Fiction that Travolta and Samuel L. Jackson worked for? The big mobster, played by Ving Rhames.
God, I love that movie.
Such a great movie. These might have been a little too hard. I didn't think about it.
No. Does it start with a Z?
No. Brett, do you know it or do you want the multiple choice?
Give me the multiple choice.
All right. It's either Wilson Fisk, Diamond Dog Jones, or Marcellus Wallace.
That's it.
Yeah, I'm going to say the third one.
Yeah, it's Marcellus Wallace.
Oh, that one.
Yeah, it's Marcellus Wallace. Good job. Let's see if there's a couple other quick ones in here we could pull. Do either of you remember the name of the boat in Jaws?
Yeah.
Do you?
Orca.
Yes. Good job. Very nice.
Yeah.
Very good. All right. We'll do one more. Three of Jim Carrey's biggest films, The Mask, Dumb and Dumber, and Ace Ventura, were all released, Brett Favre, in what year? Do you remember?
I'm going to say...
All three of them.
94.
That's a winner. Very nice.
You nailed it?
Absolutely right. 1994, all three of them. Good job.
I knew there was a small window that... I got it right.
Yeah, hey. Early 90s, tight window. But, yes, all four of those in the same year. Or all three of those in the same year.
Ace Ventura was a big fan of the Miami Dolphins. Wasn't Dan Marino in that
Dan
movie?
Dan Marino was in the movie. Yeah. Classic. All right, cool. That was fun.
Awesome, guys. Brett, awesome. Good to talk to you. And everyone, Brett. Brett's everywhere right now. And got to check Brett out on TV, too.
What am I doing on TV?
I don't know. I thought you have a TV hit or something.
Yeah, I'm glad you reminded me because I got to get off the show so I can go.
I have actual work to do.
All right, everybody. All right. There it is. In the can, as they say. Thanks, folks.
Yep, thank you.
Follow the show on Twitter for the latest news and links to all our social media channels at Bowling with Favre.
Bowling with Favre is executive produced by Ali Brito and Rob Jenners.
This has been a presentation of Live by Live's Podcast One.